Graduates and guests, the Royal Charter of the University says this: there shall be a Vice-Chancellor of the University, who shall be the Chief Academic and Administrative Officer of the University, and shall preside over meetings of the Senate, and who shall, in the absence of the Chancellor, or during a vacancy in the office of Chancellor, confer degrees. The Vice-Chancellor shall have a general responsibility to the Council and the Senate for maintaining and promoting the efficiency and good order of the University. That is charter speak for the role of the Vice-Chancellor. Allow me to translate it for you. What it means is the buck stops with the Vice-Chancellor.
Let me tell you a little about him. Our new Vice-Chancellor, Martin Beam, is in every respect a remarkable man, and one whose educational and professional background makes him especially suited to this post. An Australian by birth, Martin holds a bachelor's degree in adult education from the University of Technology in Sydney, Australia. He is, in my judgment, a living example of someone who grasps the importance and the value of lifelong learning from the very outset of his career. Martin now has over 25 years global experience working at the intersection between education and technology, having held senior executive positions in North America, Asia Pacific, and Europe. He was general manager within Microsoft's Worldwide Education Products Group, prior to which he held similarly demanding management roles in other leading organizations, including Novell, the global software corporation, and Silvan Prometric, one of the world's leading providers of testing and assessment services. This means that Martin was extremely comfortable with the use of digital technology as an education tool at a time when many, if not most of us, had barely even heard of the concept. In fact, he's always been ahead of the pack in understanding the power of technology to transform education and to help make it genuinely accessible to people, whatever their background and wherever they happen to be in the world. Martin understands both the value and the challenges of educational partnerships. He's established and managed complex, multi-stakeholder relationships in public, private, and non-for-profit organizations. He has a track record of both growing and reinventing complex enterprises, all of which, in my view, makes him the ideal person to take the reins of our own highly complex enterprise. As well as commercial roles spanning the globe from Europe to Asia Pacific to North America, Martin's heavily involved in shaping education in the developed and the developing world. To offer just one example, back in the mid-80s, Martin was president of ASEC International. That's to say the Association International des Etudiants et Sciences Economiques et Commerciales, an international not-for-profit organization run by students and recent graduates which aims to develop a broader understanding of cultural, socio-economic and business management issues. In fact, Martin has long been involved in the development and implementation of education policy and the reforms needed to meet the demands of today's workforce. He's next an understanding of the ever-changing political environment, having advised the US Senate on the importance of IT during the passage of the Workforce Investment Act. Prior to moving to the UK, Martin served as a member of the National Board of Directors of Jobs for America's Graduates, and was a member of the Workforce Training and Education Coordinating Board and the Executive Committee of the Computing Technology Industry Association. He was also part of the US Department of Labor's delegation to the US-EU Seminar on Local Employment Development and to the Economic and Employment Development Seminar in Hanoi, Vietnam. But I'm equally delighted to say that Martin understands the importance of maintaining a proper work-life balance. He is a family man who also enjoys a wide variety of interests beyond his professional life, including sailing and scuba diving. He is a man with an adventurous as well as a passionate spirit. Such is the remarkable individual who is to become our fifth Vice-Chancellor. I know that the leadership of this unique institution is in very, very capable hands. Martin, we're extremely fortunate to have you at the helm. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure as Chancellor of this university to inaugurate you, Martin Beam, as Vice-Chancellor of the Open University, and to welcome you to this great and ever-growing learning family. May I please invite the marshals to robe you in your official gown of office.
Well, good morning, everybody. As you may or may not have picked up, the accent is Australian. So I'm Australian. I have three American daughters, a wife from Northern Ireland, and yes, we are one screwed up family. But it is an absolute pleasure to be installed here today. And I'm just relieved because the toughest part of the morning is now over for me, which was putting the robe on, which I messed up considerably earlier today. But Chancellor, graduates and guests assembled here today, thank you for your kind words, David, and really warm welcome to the Open University. It's a great honour, and I say that with such incredible sincerity, particularly looking at our graduates here today, to actually be the fifth Vice-Chancellor of what is really a unique university.
Vice-Chancellor, colleagues, graduates and guests. Roger Dahl has had an outstanding career as a civil servant stretching over almost 40 years in which he played leading roles in developing policy on employment, training and further in higher education. Roger was educated at Hardy's School in Dorchester and Fitzwilliam College, Cambridge. He began work as a civil servant in the Ministry of Labour in 1962. He was private secretary to the Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, from 1966 to 1970 and was awarded an OBE in the Prime Minister's resignation honours list. He then became principal private secretary to two Conservative Secretaries of State for Employment, Maurice McMillan and Willie Whitelaw, in what were very turbulent times. The Conservative government lost the election in 1974 amidst a bitter miners' strike. Roger had to contend with the sharp change of policy of the incoming Labour Secretary of State, one Michael Foot, who Roger remembers warmly in a recent obituary. He then became Assistant Secretary at the Department of Employment with roles relating to public sector pay, industrial relations and unemployment benefit before being appointed to a series of senior roles in employment and education. From 1988 to 1992, he was Director General first of the Manpower Services Commission and then of the Department of Employment's Training, Education and Enterprise Division. He played a prominent role in the development of vocational qualifications, then a novel idea in the UK. He was appointed a Companion of the Order of the Bath in 1988. He then moved to the Department of Education as Deputy Secretary, responsible for further and higher education and international education. In 1995, he became Director General for Further and Higher Education and Youth Training. He retired in 2000, and this university was fortunate to secure his services as a member of our governing body, the Council. He was a member from 2001 to 2009 and its vice chair from 2003. He brought to Council discussions intellect, objectivity, and a deep understanding of the workings of government. He led a major review of the Council in 2004, which resulted in a reduction in size from 34 to a much more manageable 25, without any of the acrimony which such changes often engender. Roger is a lifelong Methodist and was chair of the Strategy and Resources Committee of the Methodist Church. He often compared the politics of church and university, and he coped admirably with both. In a period where standards in public life have come under greater scrutiny than ever before, Roger epitomizes a model of integrity which seems to come from a bygone and more innocent age. But he also has a warm sense of humour and great strength of character. As a Plymouth Argyle supporter, he has needed both humour and strength of character. Vice-Chancellor, by the authority of Senate, I present to you for the degree of Doctor of the University, Roger Dahl.
Vice-Chancellor, fellow graduates and guests, first of all, thank you very much for what you've said. I must respond first to your last comment. I am possibly the only Open University honorary graduate who is also a member of the Plymouth Argyle Green Army. It was said last month at the funeral of Michael Foote, another lifelong Argyle fan, that he'd supported Plymouth through thin and thin, especially this year. This is true of all of us as members of the Green Army, but for me, fortunately, that has always been balanced by the Open University dimension of my life, which has always been through thick and thick, in the nicest sense. But moving on rapidly from Plymouth Argyle, I feel in a way both fraudulent and honoured to be here this morning to receive this degree. Fraudulent because I know how hard all the other graduates here today have had to work to receive their degrees compared with my honorary award, but honoured because the OU is a great institution and because through most of my working life I've been able to see the great work the OU has done and is still doing. As Fraser said, I was in at the very beginning working in the 1960s as a private secretary to Harold Wilson at 10 Downing Street, as a very young man, of course, when what was widely regarded as the crazy idea of the Open University was turned into reality. And that was largely the result of the vision, the drive, the determination of Harold Wilson and Jenny Lee, and against a lot of doubters in the Treasury, the education establishment, and almost everywhere else about whether what was a revolutionary idea at the time could possibly work. However, it did. And later in the 1980s, when I was in the then Manpower Services Commission, I had many dealings with the Open University promoting vocational education, where already the OU was a leader in the field. Also in the 1980s, and here I'm really coming down to earth, my wife, Ruth, decided that she would do a full OU degree. So for 7 years, it was a story of, I can't come out with you this evening, I'm doing my TMA. I thought that would get a laugh of recognition. And I fully understand the importance of partners and families here today who have supported the new graduates. But what I do know is that Ruth found the whole process a wonderful experience, was delighted with all the materials and support she received from the university, and that is why, of course, year by year, the Open University is in one of the top three places in the University Premier League in the results of the annual student satisfaction surveys. Then in the 1990s, I moved to the Department for Education, in charge of further and higher education, and those years really brought home to me what a huge contribution the OU was making across the total higher education scene. So finally, when I retired, I was delighted to be invited to join the council of the Open University, first as a member, then as deputy chair. They were a challenging but very stimulating 8 years, working with others to help to cope with what were at times pretty choppy waters. So I've seen over 41 years since the OU was created, its truly remarkable achievements. Over those years, 2 million people have graduated from the university. Today there are over 200,000 students, making the Open University by far the biggest university in the country and in Europe. But it's not just a question of numbers. Much more important, the university has made a massive contribution to all its students and to the country by being open to all and by providing higher education of the highest quality. It has widened the horizons of hundreds of thousands of people. It's made a massive contribution, probably unmatched by any other institution in this country, to social justice and to economic development. And this continues, making use of the latest technologies and increasingly across the world. If Harold Wilson were alive today, I've no doubt at all he would be immensely proud of this university. And all of us, all of us who are receiving degrees here today can be proud to be graduates of this university. So, my thanks to the university for honouring me today. My congratulations to all of you receiving proper degrees today. And my thanks to your partners and to mine for putting up with us when we've been engaged in our different ways on our Open University tasks. So thank you very much.
I think another round of applause is due. Everybody, big round of applause. It's wonderful to be back up here, and this is my favourite time of degree ceremonies, and that's where we all get to give a few words to our graduates here today, something they might want to think about as they leave the room today and begin their celebrations. And again, it's such a wonderful honour for me to be here to share this day with all of you and your family. And I speak for all of us on the stage here today that we take away much, much more from a day like today than you ever will. Let me extend an extremely warm welcome to just a few of our special guests here today. The Right Worshipful, the Mayor of the City of Brighton and Hove, Councillor Anne Norman. Wonderful to have you here, Anne. Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you. Professor Julian Crampton, Vice-Chancellor, a fellow Vice-Chancellor of mine, of the University of Brighton. Professor Michael Farthing, also a Vice-Chancellor of the University of Sussex. We Vice-Chancellors travel in packs. We feel it's safer in numbers that way. I'd also like to thank our distinguished guests. My beloved Chancellor, who never ceases to amaze me when he calls me lovey. Members of Senate and staff who are here with me today. And a very, very, very special welcome to my family, who are somewhere out there today as well. So to Harriet, to Georgie, to Maddie, to my wife Mary, and my mother Margaret from Australia, very welcome to you as well. And finally, and most importantly, to all of you, our new graduates. You know, you really do have my admiration and appreciation for all you've achieved and the sacrifices that you've made along the way. Today is an opportunity for you and I to also recognize the people who have supported us on this journey. For you, a journey to walk across this stage today. For me, a journey to arrive on this stage today. And those are our family and friends. And as I witnessed on stage today, they come in very many different shapes and sizes, but we love them dearly. And the sacrifices they too have made have just been a huge factor in our ability to juggle multiple priorities, and for you to be able to complete your studies. You know, it's been said there are five things you need to live with an OU student. And Roger ticked off a few of them before in his speech. But you need sensitivity, patience, a thick skin, a volume control to keep the children turned down, and a dishcloth, because domestic chores are entirely beneath or incompatible with being an OU student. Now, the good news, though, for all of you that are here today, is that at last you can re-engage with the dishcloth. And for all of your children who are present today, you can turn that volume control up a little bit again now. My parents love me for saying that, I'm sure. As most of you have experienced today, I work for an amazing university, and I have an amazing job as Vice-Chancellor. I literally wake up every day thinking about how the Open University can continue to inspire and engage people from every conceivable area of life to fulfill their potential. As I met Sheila as she crossed the stage earlier, just a few minutes ago, and we had that rare moment to look into each other's eyes and shake hands, it just reaffirmed for me what it is to be an Open University graduate. As I was greeted by three family members, all graduating on the same day from different generations, it brought home to me what an amazing institution the Open University is. But no single person creates the magic of what we're all experiencing today. The alchemy of the Open University arises from our unique model that many of you sitting in the middle here have experienced, a model of supported open learning, and the interactions that weave together between those that write our courses, the staff who go out of their way to provide the students the support they need to succeed in their studies, our amazing group of associate lecturers in our AL or tutor community, whose encouragement and guidance is so vital to the experience of every single OU student. So I'd like to pause now, and I'd like everybody to join me in thanking my colleagues on stage with me today and those that are scattered around the room, because it is the people of the Open University that make the Open University. Let's give them a big round of applause. Graduates, you are now forever part of the OU story, and as we celebrate, I would like to pay tribute to the OU and all that it embodies. You heard a little bit earlier today, so let me echo some of the points that have been made. For more than 40 years, we have stood for inclusion, for social justice, and for openness. Above all, we have remained true to our mission, open to people, to places, to methods, and ideas. We are unbelievably proud of the fact that the OU creates more opportunities for more people from more backgrounds than any other university in the UK. 60% of our students have never previously experienced higher education, and since 1969, 350,000 people have walked across these stages and gained undergraduate and postgraduate degrees with the university. Our partnership with the BBC on programs available internationally, such as Digital Planet, means that every year there are hundreds of millions of occasions where someone just like you sits down to watch or listen to an OU program. Our technology continues to evolve in leaps and bounds. There are over 350,000 downloads of OU study modules in iTunes University every week. Some of our YouTube edu clips are watched for more than 500,000 times, and our virtual learning environment, which many of you have experienced, has up to 50,000 students every day working both individually and collaboratively with each other and with their associate lecturers. Our broad and vibrant research and enterprise portfolio continues to demonstrate the university's openness to new ideas, with the latest research assessment exercise placing the OU in the UK's top 50 higher education institutions for research. And it's that research that underpins and continues to refresh our curriculum with more than 570 courses in more than 70 subjects, leading to more than 200 possible qualifications. So what does that all mean to our graduates here today? Well, you have every right to be extremely proud of your university and the way it changes people's lives. Days like today are unique in our lifetimes. They are the culmination of much hard work and sacrifice, and it is only right that we pause to celebrate properly at these important milestones in our lives. I'm a big believer in taking a little bit of time out and recognizing the unbelievable achievement that today is for so many of you in the room. In all the years that I've worked in education and attended degree ceremonies around the world, I don't think it will surprise anybody in the auditorium when I say that there is something special about Open University graduates, and you can see it and feel it in the room today. You can see it and you can feel it. And the best word I could come up with to describe all of you is inspiring. It's inspiring. And for the young people in the room who are thinking about their future and their future in education, I want you to remember the inspiration of today. For some of you, you were inspired to begin this journey for your personal development. For others, to feel the achievement of completing a qualification. Many of you intend that your studies will progress or perhaps even entirely change the direction of your career. So I want you to remember one thing from me, though, that this ceremony is not an end point. It is a springboard that you can use to take up whatever opportunities you wish to pursue. Kofi Annan, the former Secretary General of the United Nations, said that knowledge is power, information is liberating, education is the premise of progress in every society and in every family. Your participation in higher education has helped you think differently and approach challenges and opportunities in new ways. That's what a university graduate is really all about. But your journey's not over. You know, we once had the opportunity or the luxury to think about higher education as a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But to survive and thrive in this changing world of ours, we now have to think of it as a lifelong experience. So today we celebrate. Tomorrow, I challenge you to look to the future. And I know you've worked hard and you want to kick back and relax and find the television remote control again. Well, go ahead. I'll give you today. But from tomorrow onwards, I challenge you to keep learning, to realize your potential, and remember that your university will always be there to help. One of the most important things my mother taught me, and as I said before, I'm delighted that she's in the audience with us today, is, and I quote, "Martin, there is no such word as can't." You leave today knowing that you can achieve almost anything you set your mind to, even in the face of adversity. Your presence here is proof of your determination and stamina, proof that there is no such word as can't. You now have the opportunity to go out and realize the return on your learning, to see what a difference your education will make. As a graduate of the Open University, confronting this ever-changing world, armed with the power of education, I challenge you to remember your university and carry our mission of social justice and inclusiveness forward in your life and your work. In conclusion, graduates, please remember, it's about being significant and making a difference in the lives of people you will meet and work with along the way. Just as many here today have made a difference in our lives. Would all of today's graduates please stand? Earlier, you got to show your appreciation to us. Now it's our turn to show our appreciation to you. Ladies and gentlemen, hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Congratulations, you made it. Grab a seat. Well done! Ladies and gentlemen, the proceedings of this degree ceremony have been completed, and I now declare the meeting of congregation closed. Please all stand for the recession. Congratulations.